Mockery Rocks.
I identify as Rocky's dad or father. We are in Shizuoka, Japan. I am happy to be married to the nurse to whom I am married because my Japanese language is not good enough to give great detail of my medical situation when I get myself into such a situation. I'm almost recovered from whatever it was 2 weeks ago. It is a grammar thing. Almost recovered from not in recovery, which might imply something from Alcoholics Anonymous or might imply a cancer survivor. And now the rock that gets recorded on the 16th of August. I don't like to talk about the President of the United States. Sometimes I worry that so many people saying bad things about him turns out to be a good thing because of just saying the name. So I will just devote only this rock of mockery to saying his name a few times. President Trump sought to take credit recently for a major manufacturing complex in western Pennsylvania in his effort to reinvigorate the Rust Belt. But has he made any effort? Really? He was cheered by fluorescent vest-clad workers who were paid to attend by the company Shell, as in Shell Oil, which is building that facility. Despite Trump's claims, Shell announced its plans to build that complex in 2012, midway through President Obama's term in the White House. The event was billed as an official White House event, but Trump turned much of it into a campaign-style rally, boasting of achievements he claims as president and assailing his would-be Democratic rivals for the 2020 election. But there are so many of them already. How can you pick the policies of one or two? Oh, I see. He speaks of them as the entire group of 20. I don't think they, meaning the Democrats, give a damn about Western Pennsylvania. Do you? Trump was visiting Shell's soon-to-be-completed Pennsylvania petrochemicals complex, which will turn the area's vast natural gas deposits into plastics. Is turning something into plastics a good thing? Plastics are not biodegradable. Plastics might not be good for the environment. I'll say no more about that. The main writer was a guy by the name of Boak, reporting from Washington for the Associated Press. Mark Scolfo-Row in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and Zeke Miller in Washington also contributed to it. Now you know, of course, that the man who theoretically killed himself in a New York jail cell was Jeffrey Epstein. I have to ask, should I be talking about this? The story is dated 2016, July 4th. That means before the president was the president, before he was sworn in. And the writer, Clementine Ford, writing in the Sydney, Australia Morning Herald, writes that a federal lawsuit was filed in the state of New York, naming Donald Trump as one of two alleged rapists of a 13-year-old girl. Despite the gravity of the allegations, the lawsuit seems to have been largely ignored by mainstream media, with the exception of a very comprehensive piece in the Huffington Post written by Lisa Bloom, an attorney and legal analyst for NBC News. Jane Doe, the plaintiff, alleges that in 1994, she was held as a sex slave in an apartment belonging to Jeffrey Epstein, the second defendant in the case. Jane Doe alleges that on one occasion, Trump tied her to a bed, exposed himself, and then proceeded to forcibly rape her. When she pleaded with him to stop, she says he struck her in the face and yelled that he would do what he wanted. Jane Doe also alleges that Epstein vaginally and anally raped her following the assault by Trump, physically striking her in the head at one point while screaming at Trump that it was he rather than Trump who should have been the one to take her virginity. For the record, Trump's lawyer has dismissed the allegations as categorically untrue, completely fabricated and politically motivated. But as Bloom points out, there are compelling reasons for the mainstream media to at least consider them worthy of reporting. First, there's the fact that Jeffrey Epstein was at that time, 2016, already a convicted pedophile and a level 3 registered sex offender with a preference for underaged girls. There was also the matter of his ongoing documented friendship with Trump. Just prior to Epstein's conviction, Trump had this to say about the man he had known for 13 years. Terrific guy. He's a lot of fun to be with. And you sort of know the rest of that quote. But more concerning even than that is the fact that Jane Doe claims to have a witness, Tiffany Doe. Tiffany Doe, I'll assume, is not Tiffany Trump, one of his daughters. Both women have, with the court's approval, exercised their right to anonymity for fear of retaliation given the high-profile nature of the case. And that is all that I wish to say about that. If you wish to go back to the article written for the Australian newspaper website, go to www.smh.com.au. That's after the C-O-M, you got to do the A-U, .au, because it's Australia. Search that website for Clementine Ford. I am fond of asking, respectfully, though I have never done it here, on Mockery Rocks, I've never said, who would be the campaign manager for the president as we approach the election of 2020? I mean, there was Paul Manafort, but he's all locked up. Nobody chanted lock him up, but still he got locked up. He was the campaign manager in 2016 as Trump became the president.
Prior to that, the campaign manager for the candidate who would become president was Lewandowski. What a lovely name. L-E-W-A-N-D-O-W-S-K-I, Lewandowski. So, Ginger Gibson writing for Reuters News Service says, President Donald Trump waded into an internal Republican fight in New Hampshire ahead of his trip there, advocating for his former presidential campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, to run for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate to challenge Democratic incumbent Jeanne Shaheen. Trump said in a radio interview that aired in New Hampshire that state resident Lewandowski would be fantastic as a senator. He's got great energy. He's terrific on television, Trump said. He's a really good guy. I like him a lot. I like his family. I like everything about him. But if you are endorsing him for the Senate, that means that he cannot be your campaign manager. Who would be the president's campaign manager? Is it a difficult or easy job? Might he be giving testimony before Congress as hearings about impeachment would proceed during the campaign? Would that be a wonderful thing for a campaign manager to manage? Some Republicans in the state of New Hampshire have already been vocal about not wanting to see a run by Lewandowski, who built a reputation as a ruthless campaigner before he launched Trump's presidential bid in 2015. Lewandowski was one of Trump's first aides in his 2016 bid for president, but under pressure from his children and party officials who saw the campaign manager as too inexperienced, Trump fired Lewandowski and replaced him with Paul Manafort. And I have already reminded you that Paul Manafort is all locked up. Manafort was then fired after reports of his ties with Russia and lobbying work done on their behalf, which ultimately landed him in federal prison. Lewandowski has remained close to Trump, who fired him, and speaks to the president regularly. There was frequent speculation in the president's first year in office that Lewandowski could join the administration. Instead, Lewandowski joined Avenue Strategies, a lobbying firm founded by Barry Bennett. Did you hear about the stock market in the USA falling off a cliff? Well, it was only 3%, but it was hundreds of points. And I think it sort of recovered the next day. It just reminded me of the greatest stock market crash in history, which was, you don't remember, but it was during the Reagan years. I thought I might be able to get to my homeland, but then we didn't go to the USA this summer so that Rocky could have extra study time. Going from junior high to high school requires so much testing. Maybe we can go in the winter or in the following spring. That was Mockery Rocks. I'll be Rocky's father until my soul drifts away.